Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're spending this time with me. Today we're going to begin the show with a devotional taken from Karen Whiting's book on time. And I think this speaks to me probably more than it does to you, but it is titled, Seven Successful S's When Overwhelmed. And I don't know, today I feel a little overwhelmed. And so thank you for just praying for me as well. Some days are packed with activity or unexpected emergencies that bring great stress. Compressing too much into time is one cause of stress. Seek relief from stress the following ways. Scripture support. Seek guidance. Sort it out. Simplify. Schedule time periods. Share the load. And then stop to relieve stress. Some of the scripture support is, the first one's found in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I love that. And then Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then Esther 4:14, and who knows but what you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And Psalms 31:15, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. And maybe these scriptures are speaking specifically to a situation that you're facing today. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it seems painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And Psalms 37:19, the salvation of the righteous come from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. And the last one I'll share with you is Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Oh, dear one, I wish I could just come and put my arms around you on behalf of God today, that you can see how much He loves you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to just focus on you. Our days are so busy and we're going here and going there. Certainly we're running to and fro and we see the earth's history winding down. That in itself can make us feel stressed out. Give us the peace that passes understanding. Lord, I'm praying for a family who was in a bad car accident. Please send a healing on each one of them. And I'm praying for a young person who is suffering from depression. Just give them the peace that passes understanding. And be with each of our listeners today, that today will be a great day. They will have the joy of you in their hearts. You know, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always, and may this be a day full of joy. I thank you so much for hearing our prayer, Lord, and be with us during this show. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts time. And today I'd like to integrate my arts and crafts and then make sure my curriculum corner talks about the same thing. So in arts and crafts, we're going to talk about making a flapping bird craft. And I put a YouTube video on how to do it at my Pinterest site. That's MRGamblin2. And this would be something that your older students might do as a STEM requirement, to make an actual game where the bird is flopping up and down to miss the obstacles, and then the younger kids play it. In addition, I'm putting up a lot of other resources, and I'm doing this all in my Forest Classroom. So you can go to my Forest Classroom on my Pinterest site, or you can just Google Flapping Birdcraft and you'll come across it. Have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. I thought I'd talk about exactly what I'm doing in my Science 5 through 8. And of course, it's like a homeschooling situation because I have one student in 6th grade, two students in 7th grade, and two students in 8th grade. So I have 5 students in grades 5 through 8, but I don't have any 5th graders this year. So I really have 5 students in grades 6 through 8. It just sounds more, I don't know, official. So I said we were going to integrate our arts and crafts with our curriculum corner. I'm going to try to do it the whole week. And we're going to talk about birds. That's exactly what I'm doing in my science class. There's so much to learn about birds. I've put this in my forest classroom because it really lends itself to going out and looking at birds too. And I just collect binoculars every chance I get so that every student has their own binoculars. So we're going to learn about the flight of birds. We're going to see how scientists have studied how birds fly so that they could figure out how to fly. We will look at videos about such things. We'll read about it. We'll do our own research about it. We'll try to create some of our own air pressure experiments. And it can be part of your STEM program. It can be part of your science program. It can be part of your math program. And of course, your arts and crafts, because who doesn't like to draw birds and all of that kind of things that go with birds. Birds are everywhere. It's a ready resource for us. God's made them to speak to us. So in your curriculum, as you're designing what you're, the path you're going to take for science or STEM, birds, and we'll do some more tomorrow about birds. So stay tuned for my segment on questions parents ask. I'll be right back. Questions parents ask. Well, this is more of a statement. It is from a French family. It says, "Hi all, we are a French family and we started homeschooling our 3 children in 2019. We organized our life around homeschooling. My wife works and I stay home and teach the kids. It's been a great experience so far, and my only regret is not starting homeschooling them earlier in their lives. But today my soul is crushed. Our president, Macron, announced homeschooling would be banned from September 2021 in France. Our liberties are being taken away little by this government like never before, in the name of protecting us against all kinds of real and made-up or at least grossly exaggerated enemies. My wife and I are heartbroken tonight. Could you please say a few words for us in your prayers and for all the Christian homeschooling families in France? Thank you." And our hearts do go out to them. So what does a family like that do as they look towards next year? Well, of course, praying for guidance is so important. Going to another country that still allows homeschooling. I know Germany has been very harsh with homeschoolers, but there might be other European countries close by that you could move to. But sometimes that's just not possible. You can get an attorney, and I don't know if home legal defense here in America also does international things, but you might look into that. We certainly want our homeschooling families to feel and to experience the freedom of homeschooling their own children. Here's another sad story. I'm sorry, all the comments and questions from parents today seem rather sad. This is from a Stephanie, and she says, "My husband and I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. They are my world. My husband seems to love them a good deal too. However, our marriage is dead and has been for at least 2 years. There really isn't any love, sharing, warmth, kindness between the two of us anymore. He doesn't really lift me up at all. In fact, he probably drags me down emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Divorce scares me because I'm afraid my husband would get a court order to have the kids sleep at his house for however long. I don't trust his ability to keep them 100% safe. We live by a road where semis zoom by all day and at night, and the thought of him being alone with the kids getting out in the front is beyond terrifying. Anyway, I've tried to convince myself that the best thing to do is remain in the marriage no matter what. But it is so hard being in a basically loveless marriage. What do I do? I think this question I will reserve for tomorrow because there is a lot of things that you can do. So just take that. We're going to be praying for you, but take that and know there are a lot of things you can do. So please stay tuned for my interview. You're going to love it.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How can we know that when we see a vision, it's from God and not Satan?
First of all, I want to say that the whole idea of visions is kind of overrated in our world right now. We've got people having out-of-body experiences left and right, folks channeling with the supposed spirits of departed loved ones, and dozens of books proclaiming close encounters of the angelic kind. Even our treasure chest states that, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Acts 2:17. But which are from God? Listen to these Bible words. "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. 1 John 4, 1-3 NIV. If the vision you hear about, read, or experience stays true to Bible teachings and highlights Jesus and not just you, you can rest assured that God is delivering the message. If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Brian Ondrasek. And we are talking about Pioneer Club. I don't have a whole lot of information. I know, Brian, that you have your bachelor's, and you have two bachelor's, one in pastoral training and one in business. And then you went on to get your master's of business administration. But then I've often wondered, you know, you have all this education, and yet you're doing this ministry called Pioneers Club. So just kind of connect the dots for us.
Well, it's really interesting. First of all, Pioneer Clubs has been around for almost 80 years, so it's nothing that I started. I'm just part of the ministry. But I think one of the things that has connected me to the ministry, and when the opportunity to serve this ministry presented itself, I look back on my own life and my church background. When I was a child, our organization was called Pioneer Girls, and there was another organization called Christian Service Brigade, and one was for girls and one was for boys, and I grew up in Christian Service Brigade, and as I look back on my spiritual journey and what God has worked in my life, I look back on those years as highly formative, and that children's ministry within the local church embedded God's Word into our hearts, embedded the spiritual transformation that took place was there, and I look back at that part of my life and what I learned from the church. And that went from my head into my heart. And so that is how I've connected with this ministry on a heart level. So my education in business and accounting and all the things that come with that have helped me come alongside a ministry and lead it. Even though I might not have a degree in education, I will tell you that what I learned through my church, what I've as a child, and what I learned at Moody has prepared me for this ministry. And because I'm the product of a ministry like ours, and I would never be sitting here talking to you today unless I had a church that grew us up and educated us.
And so would you say it was a kind of patterned after Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, but yet within a church?
Yeah, well, you know, I think back at the time, all of those organizations, I don't really know the specific history of the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but in terms of when they started, our ministry was started on the campus of Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois. It was a student ministry. The organization I mentioned before, Christian Service Brigade, had started as a student ministry on the campus, and the girls in the area that were seeing their brothers go to club said, "Where's the club for us?" Really, back in that time, we ministered primarily back then to junior high and senior high, our high school girls, because churches didn't have youth groups. I mean, we were sort of a pioneering ministry, pardon the pun, but we really were. And so I think some of the things that we started to do probably look a lot like Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. We still have a program that you can earn badges for. You still are involved in things like hiking and outdoor cooking and life skill activities. But we really, I don't think, set out to say, how can we have a Christian Girl Scouts? Mm-hmm. We just developed a program which is centered around a Bible curriculum that helps kids discover what's in God's Word for themselves and apply it to their lives.
So this curriculum, can anybody get it, or is it just exclusively allowed to be used by the Pioneer Clubs?
No, you know, we are open to having whoever would like to use our curriculum. There was a time when you had to be a church or whatever, but we really do have an open philosophy. If you want to reach kids for Christ, if you want to teach them how to apply the Bible in life situations, if you want to help them learn about basic life skills like cooking or money management or all the different ones that we offer through our program, we would be happy for you to use our program. And though I would say primarily our program is used through churches that run our program, but I do know of some individuals, some homeschoolers that do it for their group of influence. And so We're really just open to whoever. I mean, if you can become a member and use our program, or you can use it and not become a member.
So how would they, someone obtain? Now, the reason I ask, let me tell you why I ask, because, you know, after the George Barna, he just released his latest findings on worldview, and it's pretty shocking that, you know, millennialists, maybe 10% have a faith-based or a biblical worldview, and their children, 4%. You know, so the worldview, the faith-based worldview is diminishing. It's disappearing. And so parents who are sending their children to public school, they're looking for resources. How can we after school provide some type of program for our children? And it just seems like a perfect fit to say, let's start a neighborhood Pioneers Club, and invite our neighbors as well. So not only are we instilling these truths into our children, but into their friends and building a stronger little community within our neighborhood. So how could they obtain this curriculum?
Well, you know, one of the things that I came into the organization a few years ago, we looked at what we were doing, and we felt like at that time, the only thing we were offering to people to use, you really had to have like 20 to 30 kids at least to run that program. And we start looking at that and saying, there must be a way for us to offer something for large groups, but also for people who have 8, 9, 12 kids in their neighborhood that would want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we do have a program. It's called the Delta Program. And it's built so that you can run it as a basically what we call a schoolroom, you know, mm-hmm. all-in-one schoolroom type of setting where you have different age groups there. And so that is, if you have four or five kids, you can use that program. And it's a curriculum that, again, is full in terms of what we offer, Bible study, activities, but for a group that much may be made up of just a few kids of different ages. And so we went purposely after developing a curriculum like that so that smaller groups, smaller churches could have something as well as larger churches. Because, you know, in our marketplace sometimes when ministries or businesses like ours think of things, everybody would love the 2,000-member church to use their program.
Yes.
But our research showed that 15 to 20 million children are involved in churches of 200 and less. Mm-hmm. And that's a large group of children. And so we try to minister to those groups. So someone that wants to do it out of their home could do it as well.
So do you have a website?
Yes, we do. It's pioneerclubs.org. And people can go there and find out about the different offerings that we have. We have what we call our traditional program, which is with badges, and it's sort of with, you can buy vests and sashes, similar to, like you mentioned, to the Girl Scouts. But we also have the Delta program, which is simpler award systems, more stickers and emblems and little pins that the kids can earn. And then we're coming out with a brand new one in the next couple of months called Bolt, and it's for groups that only want to do something for, say, 4 to 6 weeks at a time. You know, you want to try something. You want to say, well, my kids like this. And so we've built a program that whether you're a small church or, you know, or a large church, and you have a hard time finding someone to commit for 20 to 30 weeks of the year of a program, we have a program now that you can start it and in 4 weeks be done and see how the kids liked it and come back. And you can pick and choose which activities, life skill activities you want to be involved in or your children to be involved in. You can pick and choose which Bible lessons you want to teach your kids. So it's going to be a very flexible program used in any context.
Yeah, I could see a homeschool association, or I could just see a family that has a heart. I know when I was a young mother, I really had a heart for all the neighborhood kids that my children were playing with. And I would look for VBS programs and whatever I could find to do a neighborhood Bible club. And I think this is a great resource. You know, it helps our children learn to also minister to others.
And that's why we did a VBS program that is very simple. Everything's in one binder. You really don't have to buy anything else if you purchase that. And it's meant for, again, small churches, people with less resources, with smaller groups of children. Because, again, we have a heart for any size group of any denomination. And so we really hope that those things can be used, again, in backyard clubs. We know that that's happened too.
Yes. So when they go to pioneersclubs.org, they can find the VBS program as well.
Correct. Yes. In fact, we have three.
They can find three VBS
programs.
Amen. What a great way to end the show. And thank you so much for being with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.